before going back to cleaning the espresso machine. The next day it would be ready to create coffee concoctions for our regulars who always showed up first thing in the morning. As I passed, I noted a few more strands of silver glinted from his beard and along his temples. The honeybee was Ben's second career after he'd retired as Savannah's fire chief. It perfectly suited his outgoing personality and flair for business. I would be eternally grateful that he and Lucy had convinced me to bring my pastry school training from Akron, Ohio, to Georgia to start up the bakery. Life was certainly different than it had been before I'd relocated almost 3 years ago. For one thing, I'd learned I was a hereditary hedge witch like Lucy, and that my parents both had magical gifts that they'd hidden from me my entire life. Now I knew who I truly was, and why I hadn't fit in for so long. I had heart-filling friendships and 5 witchy mentors in the Spellbook Club, a deepening adoration for the richly quirky city of Savannah, and a charmingly updated carriage house in Midtown. Best of all, 2 months ago, I'd married the love of my life, Declan McCarthy. Life was good. No, make that great. I smiled to myself as I scanned the few customers, lingering over steaming cups and empty plates scattered on the blue bistro tables. The late afternoon sun cut through the cafe curtains that framed the front windows, where a local artist had painted a cartoon graveyard scene. The skeleton hand reaching out of the ground toward a headstone, marked with R.I.P. You Are Next, looked more comical than scary, and the floating ghosts reminded me of friendly little Casper. Fans mounted on the high ceiling lazily stirred the air, and deep amber walls subtly encouraged energy and creativity. The wall behind the register was painted a complimentary burnt orange to contrast with the blackboard, where we listed the seasonal menu offerings and daily specials. Fake cobwebs festooned the edges of the sign and dripped from the corner of the glass case full of row upon row of delectable pastries. Silhouettes of mice cut from black felt gambolled along the floor moldings, and a few well-placed pipe cleaner spiders clung to the walls. At the other end of the bakery, a reading area welcomed anyone who wanted to peruse the eclectic collection of books. Customers were welcome to take any volume they might need or want, or leave behind a title someone else might like. The selection was always full, varied, and interesting. Comfortable chairs in rich jewel-toned brocade invited customers to stay once they'd selected their reading material, arranged along with a poofy sofa around a sturdy coffee table. On one of the bottom shelves, Mungo, my black cairn terrier and witch's familiar, was curled into a sleepy ball in his sheepskin bed. On the far windowsill, Honeybee, the bakery's feline namesake and Lucy's familiar, sat hunched over her front paws as she watched the goings-on out on Broughton Street. Her orange and white stripes glowed softly in the sun. It was the perfect place for a book club to meet, and that was exactly what was happening. 5 women gathered around the coffee table, each with a copy of the book they were discussing. Lee Marks, who had reserved the reading area for their meetings for the last couple of months, closed her copy as I approached. I saw it was a biography of the artist Frida Kahlo. One of Kahlo's self-portraits graced the cover. Since Lee was the owner of the Marks Gallery and a formidable artist in her own right, I wasn't surprised at her book group's choice. "Can I get anyone anything?" I asked. A freckled woman, whose coppery hair was several times brighter than my own short auburn locks, opened her mouth to speak. Lee cut her off. "We're good. You close in a few minutes, don't you?" The redhead frowned. I remembered from their last meeting that her name was Callista, and I was pretty sure she was Lee's sister. I glanced at my watch. 15. We'll be here for a bit, though, closing up. I did have plans for the evening. Spellbook Club member Jada French had invited me and some of our other members to dinner and a ghost tour of Savannah, which she had somehow scored free tickets to. We weren't due at the restaurant for over an hour, though, so there was no rush. Lee shook her head. "No, we don't want to inconvenience you. We've finished." Callista spoke. "But Lee, I still want to talk about Kahlo's pantheism and the almost surreal connection to nature her paintings evoke." She looked around at the group. 2 of the other ladies nodded. Their dark hair and facial features looked similar enough. They had to be related. Given the